So on the first one, the negative three means you're going from the back. And as I said, you're going to do the two substrings and concatenate them together. And concatenating means that you put them together. No, you're still off on the numbers on that one.
The numbers themselves?
I don't know. Yes, it looks like you're not starting at the right place.
Thank you.
Yeah, but three would mean starting with the H. You can either have, you know, the substring can either be starting at 0 or 1, but this one tends to start at 1. Once you get it done, if you have the donor database, try it and see what it comes up with.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I keep starting at 0.
I think I did number 2, but I think it's kind of wrong. I'll tell you my theory behind it. I'm really telling how bad I'm off this book. As you see, the function says it's a substring of this and an instrument of this starting here.
The instrument found the place, the location of another substring. That's what it did.
The substring, you want to add it to 3. So I would. I figured that it should keep going. You know when you go backwards, when you go negative,
that one doesn't go negative.
And so I had a positive order on that one. So what would happen is so what happened if it went 3 and I didn't have to?
Well. Okay, has everybody got number 1?
I'm
anybody having problems with number 1? Okay, so on number 1, I go in and the first thing says, go to the field called building, start at character 1 and take 1 character. So I take the letter. So I've got K for the first one. Okay? And then the next thing it says is do a substring on office, go in -3, so that means count in 3 from the back. That gets me to the 1, and the first one, and then take 3. So I take 3, which is 1, 1, 2, and I concatenate them together, and so I have K, 1, 1, 2. Okay, I have take the 2 parts, and I concatenate. So on the next one, I go K, I count in 3, and I take it and concatenate it, so that's 1, 1, 5. And the next one, I've got an H, again I go in 3, and I take 3, so I end up with the 1, 1, 4. Okay, so that's the result of the first one. Okay? Any questions? Does it make sense? Because that's why we're doing this, is I want this stuff to make sense to you. Okay? So number 2 is similar, but now I've got 2 things going on. So how many people have done number 2? Okay, I'll give it a few more minutes. And if you get them all done, you can start the homework.
Sure.
have questions, ask. I'm bored.
The substring does start at 1.
Yeah, in some languages, substring may start at 0, so it's a matter of experimenting when you've got a new language and finding out whether it's starting at 0 or starting at 1. I mean, Visual Basic actually used to give you the choice, which was really bad because, you know, then some people would pick 0 and not.
Right,
yeah,
and then.
So, more or less,
what
they're saying is that you can't really use Oracle to
okay, I'm going to take a look at 2, just because I want to get through 3 today and then move on. You can do 4 and 5 on your own. Number 2, I'm coming in and it is saying select substring, and this is the field that I'm looking at. Comma, the starting point, okay? So this is the starting point. And the starting point goes from comma to this comma. That's the starting point. The comma that is inside the parenthesis gets resolved on its own. So I have, when I have substring, I have 3 things. I have the field, I have the start, and I have how many? Okay? So what I drew over there is the stop. The 3 at the end is the how many. That's the how many. But the stop is involving the in string. So I said in string, look at it and find the number sign. So when I find the number sign, I add 1 to it, because before the comma is the add 1. So I find the number sign, and once I found the number sign, I add 1 to it. Okay, so the starting point is wherever the number sign is plus 1. Okay, so it's the location of the number sign plus 1 is what I'm looking for there. In the string, found me the location of the number sign, then I add 1 to it. So that's the start point. So I start with the number sign, and add one to it, and that gets me to the first number. So the answer to this one is just going to be the number. 112, 115, 114. Because I always find the number sign, add one to it to get to the starting point, and then take three characters. Okay, so I take the three characters after the number sign. Questions? Does that make sense? Nobody's nodding their head that makes sense. Yeah.
Isn't there a skip command?
Isn't there a skip command?
Yeah.
There may be. I'd have to go look it up. I honestly don't remember. There's a whole load of commands out there. So I can look it up. But it's not part of this code anyway. Okay, this code was simply find, as I said, from comma to comma is the start location. And the start location had two parts. Find the number sign, then add one to it. So that I start the character after the number sign. Okay, work on number three for a few minutes, and then we will take a look at that.
Are you still bored? I can entertain you quickly.
What?
I said, are you still bored? I can entertain you.
What is your entertainment?
Number three, it says substring, but I'm looking for some parentheses. The only one looks like there's a five. So I go to the fifth. So I go to the fifth character and continue from there for the substring.
What are you talking about?
The third one.
Huh?
The third one. What is it called? A substring. The only number I have is five. It doesn't have two numbers like the other ones have. So do I just take the fifth character and go on from there? Or am I just taking the fifth character and that's it?
Neither.
Okay. So, what would you like to do?
I'd start with the innermost thing. You'd start with the innermost function.
So you're...
You start with the innermost function. And the series of functions. You start with the innermost. Yeah.
The innermost function is from the comma to comma.
Yes. sort of. I mean, here, okay, we have a couple of things going on. First, you tend to resolve the innermost function because the substring has contact, so that's the field. Then the comma after that, up through this comma, is going to be the stat. And this is going to be the how many. But the stat has two functions in it. So you start with the first function first.
So I made computers, so that's the plan.
What?
This is why we made computers, so we don't have to think about the things they think about.
you got for the first one, if you got this?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Number three?
Yeah.
John 71?
Nope. It's a person who wants to see. Round to zero decimal places, which has no impact whatsoever. It could, but it doesn't. So what you're doing here is you're taking the first thing, okay, and saying mod year goal. Well, year goal is 500, right?
Yeah.
For the first record.
Divide by seven.
And divide it by seven. Seven sevens, 49, 10. One, and I have a remainder of three. Okay, so that gives me a remainder of three. So this mod gives me a remainder of three. Okay, then I round three to zero decimal places, and that has no impact. It still stays three. Okay, so it's three. So then I'm saying, okay, so I'm still got a three here. So I say, go to the contact, go in three places, and so I go to the H.
How do we know we went three places? Because we got the mod.
Because we got the three.
From mod, okay.
Contact went mod and then rounded. Okay. It's still giving me the three. So mod was three, rounded still gives me the three. So I'm saying, go to the contact, go in three places. So it goes in three places and then take five. So I get HN space SM. Because I went to the three character and I took five. Okay?
Okay.
Because mod gave me three, rounded gave me three. Those two things are what gives me the start position. There's the start position. And so three ends up being the start position. So I go to three, and then I take five. Okay, so I go to the HN, and then I get five. So what's the next one gonna be? Pardon me? The next one is Susan, right. Okay, so the next one is Susan. And then the next one actually doesn't have anything because there is no thing to do the divide with.
Yeah, I was gonna say, when it's null, we get like an error message.
No, it just doesn't do it. Okay? So it just doesn't do it.
Thank you.
Okay, because Susan was, if I took the 400 and divide by 7, and that gives me a remainder of 1, which means I start with the first character. So the second one gets me Susan, because I had a remainder of 1. When I round that remainder, it's still 1. And so I go in and I start with the first character, so I end up with Susan. With the third one, I don't have any year gold, so I don't get an answer. So year goal, when it does this, it gives me nothing. I get a null answer because I started out with null. What about number 4? Actually looking at, huh?
Space OS?
No. Nope.
And why space
OS? No, it's not.
No.
That was not the answer. Okay. I mean, the big key here is, okay, you divide by 100. So 1, 4, 2. So I have 2. So if I go into 2, what's the 2?
M. That's what I said.
Okay. I thought you said, somebody said space.
Sam McGuire.
You said
space.
No,
I said space.
Okay, I didn't hear you. Yes, it is M. It's M-Y space C-O. Because it goes into the second character. And it takes 5, so it's M-Y space C-O. Okay, move on down to the fourth one, the fourth problem, and leave the last two, finish up that last two, okay? Move down to the fourth problem and tell me what the answer is to this one. This one should be fairly straightforward. I'm grouping by contact, and I'm ordering by contact.
Okay.
Could
you put the ID numbers in
the form? Did I ask for the ID numbers?
Well, I'm just saying it's the order.
You know, you have to give me what I ask for, and I ask for select contact and count.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, so you have to give me what I ask for.
I
So what is number four going to be? Somebody, what's number four going to be? I'm grouping by contact.
Yes.
So what are the two groups?
Yeah, the Amy Costa and Susan Jones.
Susan Jones. And the others all have one, right?
Yes.
And what did I say I wanted to display it as? Order by contact.
Yes, yeah, so Amy Costa should go first.
Right. So Amy Costa. And what is the count for Amy Costa?
Two.
Two. And then what one would go next?
Susan Jones.
No.
John Adams.
That's right. John Adams, and what is his count?
One.
And then what's next?
John Smith.
John Smith. And what is his count?
One.
And last?
Susan Jones.
Susan Jones, and what is her count?
Two.
Two. Okay. Because I said group by contact, and then I said now once you've got them grouped by contact, show them in order by contact. So I'm showing in that order. Okay, do number five. So what have you got?
M-A.
M-A, and what's the count?
Two.
What?
Two.
Oh, two? No.
I only have one. Wrong.
It's only one in my...
Four.
Rhode Island is two.
Wait, no, Mass is check. Two also.
Oh, yeah, the 98, sorry.
I was looking at it. All I saw was M-A, too. I'm like, this is way too simple. There's no way.
Okay, so...
The last one.
In this one, this is done in two steps. I'm forming the groups, and when I form the groups, I'm saying I do not want anything with this date. So I'm crossing those out, because I'm saying eliminate anything with May 4th, 92. So I'm crossing those out. So that leaves me four left. So I form the groups, and the groups that I have are RI, and it has two, and MA, and it has two.
That's what I asked for that
day. Then I say, okay, after I've grouped them, which I just did, now I only want to see the ones that have a state of Massachusetts. So therefore, that gets eliminated. Okay? So I form the groups, and then after the group has been formed, I said, now I only want to see the groups that have a state of Massachusetts. And so the Rhode Island gets eliminated at that point. Okay, so it's a two-step process. The one is getting rid of the records as I form the groups. And the second step is then using the having to get rid of groups. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. If I took it away and gave it to you now, would you all get the right answers?
I think I would, yeah, sure.
Does it make sense?
You want us to send this to you?
Yes. And finish up number three. Okay. And obviously this is just a checkoff assignment since we all know the right answers. Okay, the next thing that we want to start looking at is normalization. And we're just going to look at it briefly. If you had 120, you have had some of this already. The part where I taught this part?
No, unfortunately, I never got to the whole class. So I wouldn't know what...
Toward the end. Okay, moving right along. You're not feeling good, remember? Okay, so normalization is basically forming a database using some rules that are called third normal form. And that is the way that most databases today are made following these rules. It's called a relational database. And it's been normalized to third normal form. Now, lately we've been seeing a lot of press about big data. And big data is an alternative way of doing it, and especially for big companies. Okay, so Amazon is doing big data, and Google is doing it. But your average company that you see around is going to be using third normal form for many years to come before it gets changed. Okay, they've got their databases set up with the normal form, and that's what they're going to be using for a good long time. So, we are looking at the normal form. Okay, and again, we went through this in 120 a little bit. Okay, so a relation is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, so I can't have repeating groups. And the classic example is that if we set up your information and we set up a student ID and a student name, and then we said we're going to put in here all of the courses that you've taken. So there's course one, there's course two, there's course three, and I keep going down to course 30. And I decide that nobody is going to take more than 30 courses. So I have a field on your record. And in fact, I'd probably have two fields, one for the name of the course, one for the grade you got. Okay, but the point is that I establish how many you're going to get. And as soon as a student says, I want to take the 31st course, I say, you can't. Okay, because I don't have a slot for you. So you can't take the 31st course. And I tell the story of I called up to place an order. And I wanted to order, let's say, 7 things. And when I got to 5 things, the woman thanked me for my order. And I said, but I'm not done. And she said, but I can't take any more. And I said, but I want more. And we discussed this, and obviously she was more interested in her time than the company's profit. So she really didn't want me to order the 2 more things. But when I got insistent, she said, all right. And then she set up a second order for me. So she had to ask for my name, my address, everything else all over again, and set up a second order for the 2 things. And the reason was that she had slots for 5 things on the order. And once I passed 5 things, she couldn't take any more. So she had to start a whole new order for me. Okay. So that's why you can't have repeating groups. So in fact, what you do is you start a second table called student course, and you put the student ID on it, and then you have course one, or course, actually, not course one. And you have a course on it. Okay? And then if you want to take a second course, you get a second record on this file. And if you want to take a third course, you get a third record on this file. So essentially, every course that you're taking ends up being a record on this file. So there's never a max. You can keep adding courses in all the time. So there's never a max. So that's why you can't have repeating groups, is basically that it gets you that max problem. Okay? So that's why you can't have repeating groups. Okay, then the second one is a relationship is in second normal form, and if it's in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. So if I have a file that has a primary key that's made up of multiple parts, I can't have anything that's on it that doesn't relate to the whole thing. Okay, so we have the sample database that I use a lot in this class is I have a donor and I have a donation and I have a drive. So I have three tables going on, a donor, a donation, or a drive. So over here I have the donor ID number and the donor name and information about the donor. Over here I have the drive number. Okay, so I have different charities have different drive numbers. And I have the drive number and the drive name and other information about the drive, the contact person for that drive or whatever. I have information about that drive. Then I want to set up donations. So a donation has to know what ID, what person gave the donation. So they have to have the donor ID. I decided that when I did this, they had to also know what drive number the person gave to. Now I'm trying to get multiple donations out of everybody, and so I want them to give twice to the same drive, maybe. Three times, four times. The more they give, the happier I am. But I have to have something that makes it unique. So I put in the date. Okay? And if I'm concerned about they might give twice the same day, I can put in date and time. And date and time gets me uniqueness. Okay? So when I look at the primary key over here in the donor table, the primary key is the ID number. Over in the drive, the primary key is the drive number. Here, the primary key is all three of these. And I conceivably, depending on how I was handling drive, I could have not had drive part of the key. But I decided I wanted to. So I've got a donor ID, a drive number, and the date and time. Now, I can put other data on here that relates to all three. And amount relates to all three. Amount is a particular person giving to a particular drive on a particular date. So the amount relates to all three. So that works there. If I tried to put on something like the donor name, okay, that only relates to the DID number. So I can't put that on. Okay, that can't go on there because it only relates to a portion of the primary key. It relates to the drive, the DID number. Okay? So since it only relates to a portion of the primary key, it can't go on there.
Okay, so that's what they're talking about, that when they say is it dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay. And then you get into the third one, and the third one is it's in second normal form, and the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. So if I wanted to put DID number, D name, and then I wanted to, they're part of an organization or part of a certain thing, so I want to put the organization ID. They're part of a certain organization, let's say. Okay? What I can't then put on is the organization name, because organization name is dependent on organization ID, not on the DID number. Okay? So I can't, this is a determinant. Organize ID determines organization name. So if I wanted to have the organization ID on there, I can, but I can't have the name. I have to set up another file that has a primary key of organization ID and put the organization name there. Okay? So those are basically the rules for third normal form. A candidate key is something that could have been the key. So your social security number is a good example of a candidate key. Okay? At the school a few years back, they actually used the social security number as your student ID. Totally illegal, but everybody was doing it. We weren't the only ones. Social security number was being used all over the place. Okay, it's not legal to do that. Social security number is supposed to only be used for social security number. And so all of the places like here changed and put that, put in a student ID. Okay, so social security number is a candidate key. Okay, going a little further in that, this was a good handout that I thought, or a good form that was right above. I thought that was a good explanation. So if you want a good explanation, I would go and look at that. Okay. So, normalization. Some of the key words that they get into in here is, for example, a primary key allows you to get one and only one record from a table. All the other attributes in the table are functionally dependent on the primary key. Okay, so they are dependent on it. A foreign key is an element or attribute on one table that links to the primary key on another table. Okay, so when I was setting up multiple tables, the thing that can link to another table is the foreign key. Okay, and that's established. And we just talked about what a candidate key is. And that's a repeat of what the third normal forms are. I should probably take pictures. Okay, so here is where I set up the donor table that I am talking about that we have looked at a lot. And what you do when you've got a database is you sit down and you make a list of all of the things that you've got to be able to keep. And then you start organizing that into what's going to be on what table and what's going to be in another. And as I've mentioned before, organizing a database is very, very, very important and should not be done by one person. It should be done by a group of people that can contribute ideas. A company should have a group of people forming a database that are in the business so they understand the importance of the data. And in the technical side, so they understand how to effectively set up tables so that they interact with each other correctly and they can be maintained correctly. At one point, my husband got hired by a company, and after looking at their database, he started looking for another job because it was just so bad. They had, for example, address of customers being stored like in three different places, names of customers being stored in three different places. So if they needed to change a name, let's say somebody got married, wanted to have their name changed, they had to change it in three different places. And nobody was going to end up doing that, so the person ended up having a variety of names and a variety that was just totally badly organized. And in fact, the company went out of business. And part of it probably was that they were as unorganized about everything else as they were about their database. So, I can set up a database and I say, you can't have the repeating groups. And so I can't have the contributions on the repeating groups. Okay, because I've got what is called a one-to-many relationship. One donor makes many contributions. And so I've got the nature of a one-to-many relationship where a donor can make more than one donation. But a donation is only from one donor. So it's a one-to-many. One donor makes many relationships. Okay? One donor makes many donations, but a donation is from a single donor. So it's a one to many. One donor makes many donations, but a donation is only made by one donor. Yeah. Okay. So I set up a donor information and a donation information, and they're going to be linked by foreign key. Okay, so a foreign key, this identification number is the primary key there, and the foreign key is going to be over here on the donation. I have the same ID number that can link over there. So I can link from here over to there. Okay. And when we set up a database, we're going to be setting it up with primary keys, foreign keys, and all that good stuff, which is why we're looking at this. Okay. And so the primary key for the donation table is going to be, I need to know for donations, the ID number, the date the contribution was made, and the drive that it was made to as I grew up there. And it ends up that the amount of the contribution can be on that table because it relates to all three parts. Okay? So I can also put the amount onto that table. And then the drive I'm going to pull out and have the drive set up, and the drive number here can relate into the drive number that I will put up when I make this table. Because I'm going to make that a separate table, and it's going to have the drive number on it. Okay, so now I've got my three tables set up that we looked at when I was drawing it out. I've got my ID number being the donor ID, the primary key, I've got these three things together, being the primary key of the donation, and the primary key of the drive is down here. And then I can relate these keys to each other. And in fact, that's the only thing that should be duplicated, is the things that I need to relate the tables. They have to be duplicated in order to relate the tables. Because when I write the stuff in Oracle, I'm going to say select, and I'll put things from the donor table and things from the donation table, and I will say where identification number on the donor table equals identification number on the donation table. So I will relate them that way by saying I want to see all of the records where there is a match. And that's how I can relate my records. Okay. And then if I added information about a contact person, I can't add the contact name and the contact phone and everything over there because they relate to the contact ID. They don't relate to the ID of the donor. They relate to the ID of the contact. So that gets into the everything on the table must directly relate to the ID for that table, the primary key for that table. And I think that's it. And there's another one that gets into down here, the relationships that you can have. Okay, so you can have a one-to-one relationship. And I always have trouble coming up with an example for a one-to-one relationship, but basically I always come up with an employee where you can have some of the information about the employee that you want a load of people to have access to. And then you can have other information about the employee that you want to be private, like salary, etc. So then you could set up two tables. And one of them has a lot of security associated with it, one of them doesn't. And so they both have the same key and it has a one-to-one relationship. Okay. The one-to-many relationship is the donor one that we looked at. And that's a one-to-many relationship. One donor makes many donations. The one I saw that I liked the best about many-to-many is movies and stars. And let me go to that. Okay, so I set up a movie table. And it's got the movie number, an ID that I assigned to it, which is the primary key, movie name, other things about the movie. Okay? Then I have the star over here, some stars. And I've got a star ID, which is the primary key, and the star's name. Okay? So now I want to carry the salary on for somebody that is in the movie. Okay? I can't carry the salary over on the movie table because everybody in the movie has different salaries. So I can't carry the salary over there. I can't carry the salary on the star table because presumably if you're a star, you've been in a bunch of movies and you've had a bunch of different salaries. So I can't carry the salary there. So what I set up is a bridge table that has both the movie number and the star ID as the key. They're the primary key. And then I put in the salary. And it's the salary that that star got for being in that movie. Okay, so it's the salary that that star got for being in that movie. And whenever you have a many-to-many relationship, you end up setting up a bridge table because you can't carry the information on either of the tables if it's a many-to-many. And so you end up setting up a bridge table that carries the information about salary that I can't put on the movie table and I can't put on the staff table. Okay, so I put it there and carry it. And there are some other things on this that you can take a look at, but we are now out of time. So, we are finished. And hopefully the exercise this morning made you understand a little bit more how those things work.